say. If you're afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We've got a lot to get through tonight, or today, I guess. It's not even tonight yet. The Cleveland Cavaliers, huge win last night. We will talk Deflategate. Rave reviews we're hearing in this building, outside of the building, from players, coaches, front office about Johnny Manziel. We'll talk about that. Ray Farmer touched on that on NFL Total Access this week. We also have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. He will be with us at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about the rookies who are all in Berea today, descending on Berea, getting ready for the rookie minicamp tomorrow. Helmets, uniforms being issued, physicals being taken, a whole team of University Hospitals people are here to see them. But I think the biggest news in Cleveland, what we're going to start with, is obviously the Cavs win over the Chicago Bulls. It was a must-win game, and they came out, and they got the job done, Matt. And if you win a game that decisively, when Dellavedova plays 34 minutes, you've got to feel pretty good about this team once you get J.R. Smith back.
Oh, most definitely. I think the biggest question coming out of last night is the severity of Iman Shumpert's groin.
How bad could it be, though? Like, he came back in the game.
I know, but you know,
it's
bad. And then also, too, I think the one thing that he is brought to Cleveland for is to play defense. And you figure when you're playing defense, you're in that low, bent knee, shuffling, move your feet side to side, and you're using all those, you know, internal, external leg muscles, and the groin happens to be one of them. So I don't think it's not that he going to be able to play. It's how effective is he going to be. But that all being said, you get J.R. Smith back at the right time. So if Shumpert is not able to go, at least for a game or two or three, you get J.R. Smith, you get that point production. Of course, you'd love to have Shump from a defensive standpoint and an extra healthy body, but that's yet to be determined how severe it's going to be. And I think what most Clevelanders or Cleveland Cavalier fans are left wondering is, why can't we see that LeBron every night? Because as Shaq and Kenny the Jet and Charles Barkley and many analysts have said, not only is he the best player in the game right now, but when he plays that way, nobody can touch him.
Nobody can touch him. Plus 31 in his 34 minutes on the court. This is an amazing stat to me. So the Cavs win 106-91, so that's a 15-point win. Dellavedova led the team in minutes played with 36. So that's three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
They were -9 in those three quarters of the game with Dellavedova on the court. In the 12 minutes that Dellavedova didn't play, the Cavs beat Chicago by 24 points.
Yeah.
In the 12 minutes that he was not on the floor.
And more so than anything is not only, you know, the 33 points, you know, the at or around 50% shooting encouraging for LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
How dominant he was going to the basket, which is what I'd love to see more of, especially now that we get a true three-point shooter and J.R. Smith back in the lineup to knock those down from long range. But that 14 minutes, that only having to play 34 minutes, being, as I told you before we jumped on air, him being able to sit that final 3.5 or 4 minutes, watch his teammates reel in this victory and bring it home and have him, you know, with his hands behind his head, you know, ready to sip maybe an adult beverage and as a, you know, congratulations for the great win. But that's what I love, is because he plays at such a high level. And last night, if he needed to go for 40 plus, he could have in those last 4 minutes to take those big shots, to shoot those free throws down the stretch. But we didn't need to. What a luxury it was to finally come out, play the game, set the tone. And the one thing that I love seeing as well, which we discussed, you know, following the loss on Monday, was the pick and roll. We fixed our defense of the pick and roll. We got, you know, Mike Miller back to his comfortable spot on the bench. Yeah. We got Tristan Thompson into the lineup. We got the James Jones three-pointers, which just kept that cushion large enough to rest some of those starters significantly.
James Jones was unbelievable. 17 points in 22 minutes, 5 of 9 from 3. He was huge. He was an MVP in this one. LeBron played great. And, you know, it just goes to show that in playoff basketball in a series, you need a guy to step up and help you win a game. James Jones certainly helped the Cavs win this game. He stepped up, and you see that in football too. You never know who's going to make the big play in a football game, but in this game, it was James Jones time and time again knocking down those triples. It created better spacing on the floor, and it was just a solid team effort. It really was never in doubt. I just think, going back, Gibbs, when I talked at the beginning and I said, Shumpert, how bad could it be? And you're like, it's bad. Why in the world was he back in the game?
I think they needed to see what his mobility was. I think they needed to see exactly what he could give them. And really just to keep that muscle working and get that muscle working, because just sitting around wasn't going to be very productive. And you can only ride the bike for so long, I think.
On TV, did he not look okay? I thought he looked
– I was at the game last night.
Pretty well.
And
yeah, I thought I was there too. I thought he looked good when he came back. He didn't look like he was laboring.
He wasn't laboring, but he was very tentative.
Yeah, and with an issue
running
like that –
running down that floor, you could tell he's like, man, I don't want to tweak it any more than I've already tweaked it.
And with an issue like that – a lot of the reason why he tried to, run up and down the hallway, get on a bike, or even get those additional minutes after the injury to see how bad it was. But for a lot of athletes, they know that when they finally stop, today he'll wake up, and go into physical, to rehab to get some ice on it. Today is the day you really find out how bad it is, because he's got to be able to rev himself up and play and potentially play a basketball in 36 hours from right now.
And that's exactly, last night David Blatt told us after the game, we need a 48-hour miracle. We're going to see. I mean, today is a test. Tomorrow is the bigger test. What's it going to be 2 days after?
Exactly.
Two days removed from it. And you could see at one point on the TV, because we're able to watch the game on TV is when we're there. You saw Shumpert, he's riding the bike, and he was able to run forward and back, no problem. You could see him sprinting up and down the back hallway, and that was fine. But the moment he was doing those cuts where you go from one wall to the other and you're in a squatting position, you could see him really struggling to get through that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what – I mean, if there is, in fact, any type of tear – that's where the blood and the bruising and all those kind of things really become very evident. Like when you pop your hamstring, I popped my hamstring and I've had blood, literally come a few days later and it literally run all the way down into my calf, with a tear or a pull. It depends, how bad it really is.
Yeah. I don't think it's torn. They didn't seem, even Shumpert last night wasn't horribly concerned. There's that concern of, I don't know what it's going to be tomorrow or Friday, but I don't think it's torn by any stretch. I think he gave it a good tug, and now we got to wait and see. It's interesting because the way Shumpert was playing, there would have been some serious decisions Blatt would have had to make regarding the rotation. Do you take him out? Do you put him back on the bench and bring J.R. Smith? Do you start a smaller lineup and bring Tristan off the bench and go with J.R. and Shumpert in the lineup with LeBron?
That would have been more likely. I don't think you send J.R. Smith to the – I wouldn't send J.R. Smith to the bench.
No.
I think the more logical situation would have been Shumpert going back to the bench, which right now is a lot easier decision if you don't want to play him a lot of minutes because of that groin.
Right.
So
I think that what they're going to find out today, with what he's capable of doing, even just walking around or stretching.
Yeah, I know, and the media is waiting for David Blatt right now for an update.
And the strength in it, they'll determine. They're going to most likely, if he's able to go, they're going to find a range of minutes that he's going to be able to play, like 14 to 24 minutes.
Yep.
And there's going to be a minimum that they think he could participate and a maximum they want to keep him below to make sure he's available for the game on Sunday as well.
It was a strong win, and again, and I, people are like, you were being too hard on Dellavedova. Listen, did he play fine? Yeah, he had some moments. So he made a couple of big shots.
Set a Cavs record for bench players last night with 9 assists.
With 9? Really?
Strong. He set a sub-record. He had 9 points, he had 9 assists, and he only had 2 turnovers in 35 minutes.
That's right. And yes, his plus-minus, people are saying, yes, it was. I know it was impacted by the end of the game. My point is, anytime you can win a playoff game in the National Basketball Association with Dellavedova playing 36 minutes,
seriously,
and you win it decisively, that means you are the better team.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
and I think also,
there is not a time when he's on the floor that he's not,
well,
maybe the worst player on the floor.
We were talking about it after the game last night as we were, cutting up sound and writing stories, recapping the game. We're all looking at each other. We're like, let's hope he doesn't get like overconfident going, I can make those shots all the time. I can hoist that 27-footer.
There were
no
some
problem.
Of the, there were some
I don't need that.
There were some of his shots that were very questionable. Some of the threes that would have just been a huge dagger that he still just clanged off the front of the rim, you know, was short, that, you know, anybody else that's a pure shooter makes. And, you know, a James Jones hits that, a LeBron hits it, a J.R. Smith hits those to be the dagger. He just, for whatever reason, he is just a fill-in. He's a body. But the one thing I do love heart. About him is the energy with which he plays at.
Yep.
In some cases, on the offensive end, I think it works against him. But the energy he brings in the defensive end is why he gets the minutes he does.
He does. Great.
It's all about the power of the headband, boys.
Oh, God.
And how about that?
We'll talk about that.
What was that all about?
And the game, and his comments after the game with Rachel Nichols, when she asked about the headband, you know, on Friday, you gonna wear it? Are you not? Game time decision with a laugh.
I mean, so it was obviously planned because if you were there, you saw they had the whole headband like video talking, the headband doing press conferences, and the headband's girlfriend was talking. The headband like was named Terry, I think. Do you know what I'm talking about, Gibbs?
Yeah. Well, it was actually pretty funny.
It was funny, and then all of a sudden he put the headband on, and it was a different guy. Now, the one thing that the Cavs did, I thought that was bad, and apparently they're getting a lot of grief for it, because I remember when it happened at the time. They ran a video where this guy was with his girlfriend.
Oh.
And the girlfriend revealed that she had a Bulls shirt on, and he literally, like, body slammed her, like, and chucked her across a room.
Yeah, we all looked at each other like, I don't know if that was appropriate or not.
I was with Agent to the Stars, Andy Sims, and I said to Sims, I'm like, are we really supposed to be like applauding domestic violence at a sporting event in this day and age? Like, they thought that was a good idea. Apparently, they're getting in trouble for that. That was not a good idea.
I can imagine. Hey, by the way, here is LeBron last night on why he wore the headband.
Good.
You know, the headband, I don't know, just made it came. It was just in my locker when I showed up in the locker room today. You know, so I decided to give it a go. It was time for it to make a comeback.
And you're up.
That's some, you know what, it just showed up. There is no, that's the same way that the deflated footballs just showed up on game day with the Patriots. Come on now.
Deflate.
Just showed up.
Just showed up. They were just exactly the way I like them.
Cadillac truck says, come on, just admit it. You love Deli. Just let the words come out of your mouth.
No.
I won't do it.
I can't do it either.
I won't do it. What I said was as nice as I could even say about him. So
serviceable.
Hey, you know what? I gave him his props last night in my article that I wrote on ESPN Cleveland recapping the game. I gave him his props. He played a heck of a game.
He did.
I don't know if he can do that every night. And
at pretty much any time when he is on the court in a playoff game against the Chicago Bulls, if you were drafting the 10 players on the court, if you were going and playing pickup, he is 10th out of 10th every single time. Maybe yeah. I take him over Mike Miller.
I was just going to say that.
Mike Miller didn't look like he could even walk.
Mike Miller gets stiffer and stiffer
the
deeper we get into the playoffs.
But he's incredibly agile when he's running to pick somebody up off the ground. Have you noticed that? He is there in a flash.
He is the ultimate cheerleader, and he is a big reason why Kyrie has turned around, you know, his career this year.
He's great.
With
he's
the great things he's done, he's taken Kyrie under his wing. I mean, he doesn't live downtown. He doesn't live a flashy life. I know where he lives. He lives out in the sticks.
Good.
Miller is not, you know, he's not a not a big time.
Should we get him to hang out with Johnny?
They're somewhat close.
What? How are you going to say that?
I
know where Johnny's living. So you're telling me where? Oh, is it, okay. You don't have to say yes or no. So he must live in Grafton or Columbia Station.
Yeah, you're pretty close.
Okay.
All right. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we do want to talk about Deflategate. We want to get your takes on that. People
Cheaters.
Are very passionate about Deflategate. Yeah. Do you see the newspapers in New York with their cartoons and caricatures and very, very mean-spirited stuff about Tom Brady? I think ultimately, after going back and reading the report, it doesn't say a whole lot. I would have liked a little bit more definitive something here. I think that this could get very interesting for the NFL if the Patriots want to make it that way. All right, more probable than not. We will talk about that when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. A freak's lose control.